Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. Oh, Holy God, we thank you so much for the gift of this Sabbath day that you've called us together that we might worship you. We thank you for the gift of your holy word and for the opportunity for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask, O Lord, that you would be in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, that you would be present in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. On this day, as we gather to celebrate and remember our mothers, it's very obvious that our thoughts would go probably to family and to home. We would think perhaps of those places where we grew up, those places where we lived with our parents, or those places where we went through all the changes of life. Or we may think of home as that place now where we dwell, where people come to visit, from which we go forth to do what it is that God has asked us to do. There's a lot of ways that we think of family and home. And today, I believe that our scriptures also remind us of family and home. The importance of family and the importance of being at home with God. There's a saying that has been around for centuries. I didn't even realize how old it was, but home is where the heart is. Home is where the heart is. Do you know how old that saying is? It actually comes from the first century. Pliny the Elder, a Roman author who also was a Roman naval commander, was the first one who put that into print. Well, probably on a scroll, not print, but home is where the heart is. Home is where the heart is. You can imagine as a naval commander, he was away from his physical home for months, perhaps even years. But his understanding of home was that place where love dwelt, that place where those who loved him and knew him, where they were. Home was where his heart was. The place we call home, the place that we call home, is the place where love is, the place where love dwells. And even if our homes have not always been that place of love, it's the ideal that we always have longed for, that home would be the dwelling place of love. The gospel lesson for this morning from the gospel according to John is part of Jesus' farewell discourse to his disciples. He has gathered them in the upper room and he has told them again that he is about to leave. You can imagine how distraught those disciples must have been. They have left everything behind. They've left behind family. They've left behind friends. They've left behind their livelihoods. They have left home in order to be with Jesus. And these 3 years that they have traveled with Jesus, there has been no permanent dwelling that they have called home. They have been on the road. So home for them was wherever Jesus was. Home for them on that journey was where they were with Christ. And now Jesus is telling them that he's about to leave. He is about to leave. And you have to wonder if those disciples felt that they would now be homeless, not only hopeless, but without home, for Jesus was going to leave. Would they be abandoned? Would they need to go back to their old homes and the old way of life? Would they need to go back to Galilee, forever changed, but yet home? And Jesus, in this farewell discourse, has these words of assurance and encouragement. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for God has a home for you. God has a home for you with many rooms where everyone is welcomed. And it's a place where Jesus says that he will go afterwards, but also a place that's promised for them to go. They will never be abandoned. There will always be a home for them. And they will have that always to look forward to, but also the reality of them for the time being was that they would not be abandoned. For home would be where their heart was, and their heart was with Christ. And if they abided with Christ, they truly would always be at home, for they would be home with God. Jesus never had a permanent home once he left Nazareth. In a story from our Gospels, once a would-be follower came to him and said that he would follow Jesus. And Jesus' response was, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Truly, home was a movable feast. It went where Jesus went. It wasn't just a permanent dwelling. In fact, that word from John's Gospel that says dwelling places, sometimes translated mansions, is the noun that comes from the verb to abide. In other words, Jesus is saying is if you abide with me as I abide with you, if you stay in love with me, you will always have a home. You will always have a family. You will never be without love. Thomas, one of the disciples, wants to go with Jesus, and he's clear that he does not know the way. He does not know the way to this new home. He's kind of missed Jesus's point. And Jesus reminds him that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That if you want to be at home, stay connected to that. Stay connected to the way and the truth and the life that is Christ. Philip, the other disciple, is still not sure what it means to abide in God. He wants to see God. He wants to see the Father. And Jesus reminds him that Jesus and the Father are one. So as you have traveled with me, you have traveled with God. As you have been at home with me, you have been at home with God. The scripture from the Gospel of John from that 14th chapter is often read at funerals. It's read to remind those who are left behind and as they say farewell to their loved ones that God has prepared a place for them, that there is a permanent home for them. It's words of great comfort and assurance, just as I'm sure it was comfort and assurance for those disciples, that there would be a place where they would always be at home with God. Throughout the centuries, though, this scripture at times has been used to, instead of seeing God in the here and now, to just wait to the hereafter, to wait till that time when you would be at home with God. Something better was yet to come. A few years ago, Carrie Underwood had a song entitled Temporary Home that reminds us that we don't always, where we are is not always the best place, but there's another place. And the words of the song goes like this. This is just the refrain. This is my temporary home. It's not where I belong. Windows and rooms that I'm passing through. This is just a stop on the way to where I'm going. I'm not afraid because I know this is my temporary home. Truly, we have another home where we will all dwell one day. But on this side of the grave, here and now, there is a home where we dwell. It's a home that we should make a place of peace and security, of acceptance and love. Our physical home should be that place where we know God and where God knows us, that place where our heart is, because a place where love dwells. The other way to look at this is to reflect on what Peter says to the second century Christians in his letter that Sharon read to us this morning. In that letter, Peter is also writing to disciples, followers of Jesus, who also are needing encouragement and assurance. They have left home. They too have left family and friends. They too are in a new place, but in a place where they're persecuted and rejected, a place where those who are following the way of Jesus are not always loved and accepted by the greater society. And Peter knows that. And Peter knows that they need assurance and they need encouragement. And so he writes, "Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Peter wanted them to know that they had a new family. They had a new family as part of the household of God, as brothers and sisters of Christ, with God as their parent. They were a new family. They were a new being. They were beloved, they were unique, they were affirmed, they truly were set apart. They had a new social identity, and maybe it wasn't always comfortable, but that new social identity was that they belonged to Christ. They were at home. They were living in God's home, a spiritual house where Christ was the cornerstone and the walls were built of living stones. They were a single household where all were included. They were part of the household of God, a new family. It was a new family that God had built. It was not a building, but it was a place that God was continuing to build. For Peter says that they, those would-be followers of Jesus, were living stones that helped to build that spiritual house. And as living stones, they were called to invite others into that home so that others might be at home with God. As living stones, we today continue to build that home, and we invite others that they might come home to abide with Christ and let others know, too, that they are part of God's great family, for we truly are all at home in God. There's an old story about a wise woman who once found a precious stone in a stream. And she put that precious stone in her bag, and she was journeying along. And one day, a hungry traveler came to her, and as she opened her bag to offer him some food that was in that traveling bag, he saw the precious stone. And so he asked her if he might have it, if he might have that stone. And she willingly gave it to him. And he went away overjoyed, for he knew that the worth of that precious stone, and he knew that that stone would probably feed him for his lifetime. It would give him security, and he would use that to sustain him. But a few days later, he comes back. He comes back in search of that wise old woman, and he has in his hand that precious stone, and he returns it to her. He returns it to her, and he says, "What I want is what you have. What I want was your ability to give away this treasure. What I want is your love that gave to a perfect stranger all that you had. I want to be like you." To me, that's the story of what it means to be a living stone, to give away what we've been given so that others might know the love and the blessing, the grace and mercy that God has given us. How do we build up a spiritual house, a spiritual home, unless we're the ones who are showing others Christ's love? How are we inviting others to know God unless we're living that out each and every day, inviting others to be at home with God, to be in love with Christ? How do we encourage others to abide in Christ so they come home and so they have that encouragement and that assurance that they are loved and accepted, that they are set apart to be a blessing? How does that happen unless we're the ones that are the living stones inviting others to come home? Today, as we thank God for our families, as we thank God for those who have been a part of our lives, as we thank God for our homes here and now, let us not forget to thank God that we are always at home with Him, that we have that dwelling place with God here and now and hereafter, that God has called us to be at home with Him and at home with our brothers and sisters. Truly, our home is where our heart is. Amen.